House Resources Committee will now come to order. Second half of the 13th legislative session.
Show up on time. If the one of us don't want to come too late, that's their fault. Are you ready, John? Call meeting to order. House Resources Committee for January 10th, 1984. Present we have Representative Schultz, Representative Larson, Representative Liska, Representative Kadri, Representative Ewing, and myself, Representative Ringstad. All I wanted to do today, just kind of have an introductory meeting. We've got a file for each committee member here that you guys can take with you. Wanted to just first off introduce our staff. We've got two of the same people back and one third one. We got Dave Stancliffe, who's a committee aide. John Manley's going to be our committee secretary. And Brent Payne's going to be our other committee aide this time. I think all three of them pretty much know the issues, know what we're doing, so I would assume that they will do real well for us. What we've done this year that we didn't do last year, and I've got it on this sheet in here, we're breaking out listing issues and more of a job description. So when an issue comes up, you can take a look at it and know which one of these guys to talk to. And I think that that'll help a little bit. For the record, we have Representative Gall with us, too. I'm just going through the folder there, Peter, that we've got a memo in there showing committee assignments or job assignments for the staff. We'd also request that you guys have whoever on your staff that's going to be working with our resources issues get in touch with my office or with one of these guys or all of these guys so they can get to know each other and so you can see the issues of who to talk to when they need to know something about what's going on in the committee to try and help you guys get ahead of your schedule. We've also included in here a list of all the bills that are in committee. We've got a couple that were just introduced too. If there's anything in here in committee or something that you guys see coming or are going to be working on, I would request that you let us know on this. Note for the record, Representative Bussell, too. Charlie, we're going through that little folder here. We've just got some stuff on what we're doing and who's doing which.
Okay.
We would like to try and get to some of our resources issues early on this session and get most of them out early rather than holding them all to the end like we had them last session. And in order to try and facilitate that, that's why we're requesting. If you guys have issues that you want to address and try and put forward, let's see if we can get them scheduled up relatively early. So I appreciate it if you take the time to run through what we have in committee and do that. We've also included a list of our meetings this week. Tomorrow we've got one. The joint overview dealing with federal crop insurance agriculture programs. Friday we've got one dealing with Alaska Minerals with John Sims out of the Mineral Development Office in Commerce and Economic Development. What we try to do is have some joint hearings with the Senate Resources Committee to get some of these things started, these different folks that wanted to give us presentations so that we can get them all together and do them at one time rather than having people come in and do it twice. We're also going to be probably through the rest of the month periodically having other joint committee meetings with the Senate. There are a couple of others that are going to be coming along that aren't going to be ready till later on. We'll have one on APA also, where we had committee staff working on the power authority during the interim. That report is being finalized now, and that will be a joint presentation between Gerald Watts, who was working for the committee during the interim, and Larry Crawford, the new executive director, to get everybody up to speed on what happened to them. They had some major changes internally this year.
Mr. Speaker, on this on these meetings on Wednesday and Friday, you don't have the times on these.
We're all going to go 3 to 5. The same
all
way we did last
five?
Year. you know, if we get out of here early, that's our block we're going to be working on, starting at 3 o'clock and going until we get out of here. Presumably we'll get out before 5 most of the time, depending on our issues, but that's the block we're working on.
Yeah, thank you.
I don't have a whole lot else. I want to staff at this point, if there's issues, any other issues that you folks see coming that I should be aware of that you're working on.
Yeah, what is the situation on the royalty oil contracts, and where are we with that? Are these bills going to come up possibly next week? And is there
well, we're having a, we're having the joint hearing with the Senate and the Joint Oil and Gas Committee that I will be sending out notices to this committee or calls, and the Senate will be doing those, and I'm getting the Oil and Gas Committee for Monday to have everyone present. Unfortunately, Representative Cowdery is going to be going to Japan to try and give us a market for our gas over there. Representative Cowdery?
The Joint Oil and Gas Committee will probably not be here. We're going to, I've talked with Adams, and we're going to, because I had some people coming here the 25th, scheduled to be here the 25th. We coordinated the oil and gas with the finance for the 25th of the month. And it'll be in the interest of speeding things up and not having separate hearings or anything.
Right.
The people that I wanted to be here can't make it the 25th. So that's when it's.
So they'll be.
So
that in conjunction with the Finance Committee.
That's right.
Right.
So we'll be
good. That's good.
So
we'll hear them here, and the next committee referral is the Finance Committee. So you're coordinating.
Yeah, I've already had a talk with Al, and that's scheduled for the 25th.
Good.
What's going to happen on the railroad question?
I don't know. I think that we're going to have to look at how we're addressing that. I think at this point, Representative Cato's taken an initial review of it, and I think that, you know, it's going to be one of those that we're going to have to deal a lot with. I don't know just how we're going to do it yet, though.
Is that going to have a resources referral?
I would think it possibly would. Would that be something we want to try and take a look at? I could request a referral and be sure of it that way.
I'm sure it would be, because you've got railroad lands involved in it.
A lot of land in there, and that's a lot of our resource development potential comes off the railroad. So
sure.
Okay. We'll do that, too. Other suggestions at this point? If not, that's essentially all. I'm assuming at this point, I didn't sit down on the committee on committee meetings this morning, but all indications that I'm getting is that we won't be having any changes on our committee, either with the majority or minority members. We'll be staying with the same 9 people we had last year. So with that, I would just remind you guys and request that you have your staff get in touch with our guys and just stop in and say hello or something, so they try and know who we're working with here to get them started and keep things flowing well. That we're in the meeting.
John, are you interested in this veterans' home site going?
Well, yeah, you just introduced that.
Late last session.
Home sites for veterans.
Then, if I speak to John about calendaring that, would it be appropriate to say that you have
enough support to other ways, financial, educational, whatever. So everybody has the opportunity to fail or succeed. We care for them. We care to make you succeed. We'd like to give you the opportunity. As I said before, I think one of the great steps forward that this administration has made is made last week. A lot of people probably don't even recognize it or haven't heard about it, but when the governor appointed the Commissioner Warnke to the Ag Council, I think that's one giant step forward. I've talked to the commissioner, I told her better about 2 months ago, and I have great respect for her. She'll listen, she's a quick learner, she got a level head on her shoulder. She can understand our problems. I don't know what more I can say. She's also my boss. With that, I'm going to turn it over to the commissioner. I guess apparently, according to the form, they're going to be asked questions.
Gibbons. It's in his job description that he has to say good things about him. Forgive me my Peter Barrow voice tonight. I'm fighting a cold, and so if you can't hear me, wave your hands and I'll try to speak a little bit louder. Obviously, what you see is what I am, as Bill was describing. I have a very long and checkered career, about 20 years of it in Alaska, but before that in northwestern New Mexico, where I grew up. And Carol Martin and I find that we grew up in the same hometown together and have a lot of friends and people in common there, so it's always nice. I think that's one of the nicest things about Alaska. Is that we're a small community, and you know one another in the state. It's very encouraging to me to see this larger group representing as many diverse, really, agricultural interests in a state the size of Alaska, to see you gathered here. And I hope that your deliberations are unifying and good and positive ones, because as Bill was indicating, it's extremely important that that we all work together. I don't think there's anything that substitutes for going out and talking to the people who are actually involved in a business or involved in an occupation. I was happy yesterday to be able to finally meet some of the people who work in the Division of Agriculture by going to Wasilla and meeting with Bill's staff, and also having the opportunity to meet with some of the Soil Conservation District Board members, also having the opportunity to meet with the members of the Agricultural Revolving Loan Fund Board. And tonight, you know, is a special pleasure for me to have the opportunity to sit and talk with a number of you and hear what your concerns and what your problems are. I also am very heartened by the fact that the Commissioner of Natural Resources has been placed on the Agricultural Action Council, and I'm disappointed that I wasn't able tonight to announce to you the Agricultural Task Force that the Governor is appointing. But that just wasn't possible today, and I'm hoping that you'll still be able to get the information while you're still assembled here tomorrow, and that can be announced during your meeting. I'm looking forward to working with Carl and with Paul on the Agricultural Action Council. We will be meeting on the 9th of March. In Juneau, the red meat industry will be the primary topic of that meeting. I would like to have as many recommendations and as many comments from you before that meeting as possible to better prepare me to represent you and to represent the agricultural industry in Alaska on that council. Without preempting the report of the Agricultural Task Force, which the governor will be relying on for the fleshing out of the policy that he would like to establish for agriculture in Alaska, I think that I can state that the governor's goal is to develop a self-sustaining agricultural industry in Alaska, for the purpose of reducing our dependency on food imports into Alaska and to broaden our economic base and thereby increasing our job opportunities. We intend to pursue development according to a publicly stated concise plan, which will result from recommendations by the Agricultural Task Force and a joint effort by affected state agencies. I think you will see in this administration a lot more work in concert between the Department of Natural Resources and the Department of Commerce and Economic Development. And they will be looking to the larger markets, to the macro market, so to speak, but we are going to be looking to internal markets within the state. We're going to be looking at putting the pieces of the puzzle together, at the relationships between various parts of the agricultural community within the state. I think that in the Sheffield administration, you're going to see a much more integrated effort among all departments, because just as markets are extremely important not only to your industry but to every other industry in Alaska, certainly things like access and transportation and utilities and facilities of all kinds are extremely important to your industry also. So we're not only going to be working with the Commissioner of Commerce and Economic Development, but we're going to be working with the Commissioner of Transportation and Public Facilities too, so that all the pieces of the puzzle can fit together. I think it's clear that state government has an important role. It's obvious in the growth of your organization in just the last few years that agriculture in Alaska has had a very critical takeoff point, and is going to need a lot of support from state government. It's also a fact of life, of course, that state revenues are decreasing rather than increasing. So we have to be very selective in the kinds of things that we choose to do. I know in looking at the Department of Natural Resources itself, I've been struck by the fact that although oil and gas revenues do give us about 90% of state revenues, there has been so much concentration in that area that there has been a failure to look at other resources like agriculture, like timber, like mining, a number of other things to broaden the economic base of the state, to broaden the development of all resources within the state. And it's that kind of balance that we're now looking at within the Department of Natural Resources and that the governor is looking at for the state as a whole that we're trying to achieve. Bill mentioned budget. We had just gone before the governor's budget review committee last week, and we'll be talking with him on Monday for readjustments within the Department of Natural Resources budget, and frankly for increased funding within the Department of Natural Resources budget to more nearly match that desire to balance the kind of resource development in the state that we hope to achieve. And we're certainly hoping, Bill, that you will be able to fill those three vacant positions and that we will be able to at least fund the effort in the Department of Natural Resources as far as agriculture is concerned. I know that some of you have been disheartened by the decision that was made by the Agricultural Action Council with respect to the Seward grain terminal. I know that you've been impatient, as I have been, with our delay in appointing the Agricultural Task Force. I'm not the world's most patient person, and I remember when I was a child planting, I think they were castor beans, but anyway, I couldn't wait for them to come up, so I dug them up to see if they were sprouting, and of course I killed them. So I have a tendency not to be very patient myself, and I have to always resist the temptation to dig something up to see whether it's sprouting or not, but be patient enough to wait for it. I think because you are farmers and livestock growers and are engaged in what is a very risky business, that you naturally have a lot of patience, you naturally have a lot of optimism, or you wouldn't be in the business that you're in. But I'm confident that we will look back on this time of impatience and this time of frustration as perhaps the turning point in Alaska agricultural development. I hope this isn't the last time that I will have an opportunity to meet with this group. I certainly hope it's not the last time I'll have an opportunity to meet with you individually in your own communities and in your own associations. As I said in the beginning, I don't think there's any substitute for going out and talking to the people who are actually engaged in an occupation to find out what the problems are, find out what directions should be taken in a program. I wouldn't presume to tell you how to do your business. Bill mentioned bureaucrats, and it reminded me of a story they used to tell years ago about the bureaucrat in Washington, D.C., who kept insisting on all kinds of reports and things from a man who was raising sheep out in the part of the country where I grew up. And finally he got this telegram back saying that the sheep raiser couldn't comply because lambing season was coming and he wouldn't have time to fill out all the papers and file all the reports or whatever the bureaucrat was asking for. So he got a telegram back that said, "Cease lambing immediately." So as I say, I wouldn't presume to tell you your business. I hope you will tell me your business and help me to help you. Of all of the activities in the Department of Natural Resources, I said jokingly the other day that the only one that I had not ever heard of before in my 20 years in Alaska was the bees disease problem. I've heard a lot about bees disease since then. Maybe there are some others that I hadn't heard of before. But as I say, I hope that we will all look back on these times as a turning point in Alaska agricultural development. Hope we'll look back to say that this was the time when there was a state administration who actually believed sufficiently in the cause to want to ensure its success. To be certain that we get the maximum benefit from state dollars as well as private dollars and man-hours of labor. That we wanted to ensure that the facilities fell into place when needed. That we wanted to ensure that a farmer could move ahead confidently with his development, knowing that when he produced, the market would be there, and that the mechanism would be in place to get his product to market. And I believe that what is currently perceived as a step backward in Alaskan agricultural development will ultimately result in a giant step forward. We are looking on the agricultural task force for 9 to 11 people, each of whom not only represents a specific interest within the industry, but also someone with the ability to see the state as a whole. We'd like to have individuals who represent all areas of the state, but those with the capacity to see the state as an entity. We're looking for individuals who will come to the job as statesmen and putting away the negatives of the past and who would grab at the positives. And as I said earlier, if you weren't positive and if you weren't optimistic, you probably wouldn't be farmers and stock growers. And I think we need people with the necessary vision to see where we need to go from here. I think the Alaska agricultural industry is a very diverse one. I think our pulling together is what's necessary at this time. We hope that you will be pleased with the governor's selections. since I don't know what they are, I hope I'll be pleased with the governor's selections. He was given a long list of recommendations. Many of you contributed to that list. The Department of Commerce and Economic Development and DNR gave him a list from which to choose. I'm curious to see what the makeup of the group will be. What I would ask of you is that, irrespective of whether you're on that list and a part of that agricultural task force, that you won't cease to give me, at least, the benefit of your experience and the benefit of your advice. Where I come from, as far as Alaska development is concerned, is pretty much right down the middle of the road. I think that we have tremendous opportunity in the state. I think that one of the greatest assets that the state has is the people who live here. And I think that all of you are representative of that kind of asset that we have. I try not to make decisions without having the facts. I try to have as good analysis done as possible. I try to have the courage to make those decisions, the courage to stand by them once they're made, and the patience to listen to constructive criticism if there are decisions that are not palatable to everybody. I doubt that any of you could please everybody in this room. I'm sure that I won't be able to. But I will promise you as many facts as possible. I will promise you as much good analysis as possible. I will promise to listen to you. I will promise to consult with you and to give you a fair hearing. And beyond that, I can't promise any more. But Bill and I would be happy to try to answer any questions you have. If we can't, we certainly will look into whatever the specific matter may be and try to get back to you. Again, thank you very much for having us. I might just end with one corny story that I'm sure you've heard 1,000 times, but when I took this job, I said that I had been involved in natural resource issues for the last 20 years, and now I was committed, and it was like the difference between the pig and the chicken involved in ham and eggs. And someone said, well, how is that? Well, they said, well, the chicken's involved, but the pig is committed. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Commissioner Wanneke. Does anybody have any questions now that aren't too pointed or fiery that they're going to put anybody on the spot? We don't want to do that, but if anybody has any questions right now, I think the Commissioner and Bill Heim are willing to take them.
Go ahead and toughen us up.
Boy, that's the first time I've ever. Yes, ma'am.
I have a question for the Commissioner.
Mr. Burr?
Yes, do you think that agriculture will ever have a cabinet status? That the Department of Agriculture will have a cabinet status?
Oh, I don't know. That's probably far down the road for me to answer. Yeah. We have so few people on staff right now that it's hard to maintain divisional status. But I would think as things grow and develop that we might have cabinet status one day. I think it's premature right now.
To put things in perspective, the Commissioner has 9 divisions.
Yeah.
And I think agriculture is the smallest of her division, am I right?
I think so.
Yeah, I think we're the smallest division.
I was not thinking of the size, I was thinking of the importance that is behind it.
Oh, I agree with you with respect to importance, but I think that particularly when you're looking at decreasing budgets, that you have to be very careful that you don't spend that money on overhead or just on creating a structure, but instead that you spend that money for programs to deliver services to the industry. And I know in looking at hard rock mining, I had the same kind of question, as I said, coming into DNR and looking at trying to bring a better balance with respect to mining and with respect to agriculture to the department. Mining is a section within the larger division of minerals and energy management. At least agriculture is a full division. And I thought, the way to solve that, of course, is to create a division of mining, which would include hard rock mining as well as placer mining. But then with smaller budgets, you run into the problem of spending all your limited resources on creating that structure, and you don't have the money then to deliver the programs. So that's why I say I think at this time it would be premature, but I think it might come one day as the industry grows and becomes much more viable.
Thank you. Paula?
Hi. I agree with you that communication is a very important facet of getting anything done. Could you commit to something we could depend on and plan for and look forward to a series of meetings? Say, someone from DNR, from the Division of Ag,
past my secretary, right.
If you could commit to some plan and set out a series of meetings so we would have the opportunity to speak to, if not to you directly, to someone who
at least
will speak to you.
To someone, you know, one of my deputies or someone on my staff. How often do you meet? Do you meet quarterly? You meet monthly.
Previously, the past 2 years, someone from the DNR and the Division of Ag had been in our area, and it helped iron out the problem.
Well, I think you know Bill, of course, you know Dean Brown, you know Sharon Barton, who's on my immediate staff. All three of them, of course, devoted to agriculture. I would certainly think it would be reasonable for us to agree to meet at least three times a year with your organization. I don't think that would be unreasonable at all. And depends on, as I say, how often you meet, how often you gather this group together.
This is annual.
Yeah. One thing I would like to do, and I've traveled through most of Alaska in my checkered career that I mentioned, but one thing I would like to do is to get to some of the areas where different types of agriculture are being practiced, just for my own information. Because again, there's no substitute for being there, no substitute for seeing it yourself. But I would think three times a year, wouldn't you agree, Sharon, would be a reasonable promise to make, and we would certainly try to keep that. Oh, I'm sorry, you couldn't hear me. All right.
Bert?
I have a question for you, Director Heim. The memorandum of understanding that is currently being discussed between the university and the division, are you aware of that? And if so, has that been signed and is that going to be put into effect?
I'm going to turn it over to my deputy director.
Bill, the memorandum of understanding you were talking about was between the Division of Agriculture and the University of Alaska regarding the relationship in the extension type information. That memorandum was signed by the Director of Agriculture Department, was also signed by Jim Matthews, and my understanding is that it's still with the university, has not yet been sent back and going to the chancellor and the board beyond that. But our understanding is that it was an effective memorandum, but we have not yet received his final signed copy of that.
Since Nick signed it and not Mr. Heim, is that still going to make it valid, or do we have to, since there's been a change in administration, do we have to go through the whole thing again?
No, the memorandum memorandum of understanding was signed between two agencies. The individual signing that at the time when we receive that final copy back, I'll be happy to make that.
I have a question for all. I have a question for all of you. I think we need some answers on some things. Do you think that a grain reserve system is a good idea? And if you do, do you think it should be a loan or should it be an outright grant or what are your ideas in that respect?
I don't know if I can answer for the organization, but that's a really dynamite question, and we hopefully that'll be one of the outcomes of this meeting, that we will be able to develop a answer that most everyone here can agree upon, and we'll certainly make sure the Department of Natural Resources gets results.
Well, I think we would be interested in the views of the organization too with respect to your support or with regard. I'm sure that Senator Fisher would be interested also with respect to the views of this organization with respect to the various bills that are in the legislature. We'd be interested in knowing, too, your views with respect to the Agricultural Loan Fund, whether you think the limits should be raised or lowered, that kind of thing coming out of this meeting and directed to us would certainly be good guidance, as I'm sure that it would be to the members of the legislature.
Peter?
Why is Governor Sheffield going to the trouble to replace the Ag Action Council with Task Force?
That's a good question. He has been using task forces, I think, rather successfully in a number of other areas. And there has already been a loan task force that was appointed and that has met and that has looked at all of the loan programs in the state, including the Agricultural Revolving Loan Fund program. And they made a recommendation that the Agricultural Revolving Loan Fund be placed in the Department of Commerce and Economic Development. One of his intentions is to try to put within the line agencies as many programs as possible, one for administration, so that you don't have independent councils and independent boards outside of the line. And I mean that. With that philosophy in mind is why he appointed the loan task force. But he has promised us that he's not going to make a decision with respect to that recommendation by the loan task force until he's had the benefit of the agricultural task force. So I don't know what the end result of the recommendations from the agricultural task force may be, but I would assume that they may be looking at some new structure of something different from the Agricultural Action Council in the long run. But in the meantime, it is a body that's functioning and should continue to function, and I'm glad to be placed on it.
Paul?
Yes, Mr. Warnke, my question is, do you feel the present administration would, in place of Seward grain export terminal, maybe erect a couple of the grain storage bins in that location for storage purposes or for the reserve purposes?
I think that's certainly something that they will consider. Just chatting with Jim over dinner, and as Bill indicated, there are 9 divisions that in the Department of Natural Resources. In conjunction with one of those, I was talking with a company that has a lot of surplus storage tanks that oil has been stored in. And I said, you know, is there any way that those could be converted to temporary storage for grain? They'd be located along the rail belt, might be helpful in that regard. So I think that's something that certainly would be considered.
Bruce?
Yes, I'm Bruce Ward. I believe I have a question for Ms. Warnicki.
Oh, okay.
On the task force, you know, I've been in agriculture a long time, and as well as a lot of other people here, but I keep hearing what's going to happen and that type thing. I'm trying to figure out just exactly what part this task force is going to play in the direction of agriculture.
Well, I think a very significant one. I think that one thing they're going to do would be to review the 10-year plan that was developed by the Ag Action Council and determine whether that fits within the desires of the agricultural community as a recommendation to the governor. And then with that plan in mind, I think that all of the departments who have a piece of that plan, as I tried to indicate earlier, whether it's providing transportation or providing facilities or providing land in the case of DNR, or providing development loans or whatever might be necessary as the various parts of the puzzle would be guided by that plan. So I think they'll have a lot to say about the policy that the Sheffield administration adopts, the specifics of the policy.
Well, I think what I'm saying is that agriculture, the way I've seen it, has never had a statewide overall plan as to what's tying in the Delta with the livestock and truck gardening. And I haven't seen anything tied together to really have a front to move agriculture.
That would be the hope that's what the task force would be able to provide. You've got the 10-year plan already suggested, and I would not think that they would just recommend that without some modifications, but certainly that's a beginning. I would hope it would tie everything together. I agree with you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Bill Burton from Kodiak. It seems to me like the whole thing, grain and cattle and everything, all ties together with transportation. But we have a unique problem over there in Kodiak and being an island. But would there be some way that we could get some kind of agricultural rate or something for getting cattle and or grain transported on the ferry system?
It's certainly a good suggestion. I can't answer it, but certainly something worth proposing. Not only on the ferry system, but I would suppose with respect to transport by other means also. But certainly that would be one means of accomplishing the purpose.
Grain terminal, or if they could just get the grain stored down in Seward, would be a big help there too, because we can go into Seward with a ferry and pick up grain or take cattle or pick up grain by person. And so that would help us. The cattle industry definitely needs grain. Of course, we'd like to be able to use the grain within the state, but right now we can't afford to use it.
Because of transportation?
Because of transportation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can buy grain out of Seattle quite a bit cheaper than I can buy any in the state.
Would agricultural rates also be applicable in the areas of utilities so that our production, and particularly in the greenhouses, so could become more favorable in comparison with imports?
I don't know how that would work, since you would be dealing, in the case of the ferry, you'd be dealing with a state agency, but in the case of the utilities, you're often dealing with a separate corporation. But rates, I mean, it's worth looking into, but I think that might be more difficult.
Yeah. Jared?
I hate to keep beating this task force on the head, but you know, this last action council was the first one that shut down the terminal. That pulled this state together farmer-wise like nothing ever had before. And there was 35 people gave testimony that day. And I mean, these people were all active in agriculture at the time. And what we're running into is Commissioner Lyons did not set through the whole thing. He had someplace better to go at the time. And I wonder how much stock the administration is going to put in recommendations from a task force at this time that he wouldn't listen to the last time.
I don't recall. I think I remember the teleconferencing. I think I was there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Commissioner Lyon was there most of the time. I don't recall that he did he leave early? Yeah, I don't know what his commitment
was. This task force I'm talking about was the one that was it was the second meeting of the Ag Council when they reconsidered to store the stuff instead of sell it off.
Oh, yeah.
And there was everybody gave testimony, but Lyons only stayed for just a little bit of the testimony and then he left. And to me, that's the direct link that the governor's office is to Lyons. I mean, if he's not going to listen, then the governor's never going to get the. This is the way we have looked at it till this time. And I'm just afraid that the task force is going to fall on deaf ears, too.
Well, I hope I have as direct a link to the governor's office as Commissioner Lyon does.
I do, too.
Okay.
Mr. McKee?
I'm Don McKee from Fairbanks. I'd like to talk on a subject that was touched on earlier, and that's Marshall. Bill mentioned they have a marketing division in their section in the division of ag. And I think this is one of our big problems in agriculture. As was said here earlier, the fellow that raises the eggs, he sells them to the retailer at a competitive price, but the retailer turns around and marks them up and treats them like a gourmet item because they're locally produced. They do the same thing with our meat in Fairbanks. And they do the same thing with lettuce when it comes up. And it isn't fair to condemn the local producers for the high prices that the consumer has to pay in the grocery store because the grocery wants to make a killing on a local item.
Well, let me ask you a question. Is the man who's selling the eggs not able to sell all his eggs because the retailer marks up the price?
No. I better demand than I have eggs. It's just that when you're selling near Washington laws, it's awful hard to look at the Washington egg there for 99 cents and mine.
I have consistent, relatively consistent policies for 20 years. And we can't have this flip-flop with administration.
I just think you've got better policies now than you had 2 years ago as far as agriculture is concerned, or that you will have.
Well, we hope we will.
So, I mean,
I'm not complaining, but what I'm really saying is that we have to have that so we can plan 5-10 years down the road. And you'll see, because of the Seward Grain Terminal, I'll just be willing to bet you $100 that there's a lot less grain planted this year than probably could have been, because people are going to be afraid to put out $60,000 to plant their large grain farms. With a total marketing situation up in the air. They have to know ahead of time what to expect. And that's the area that I think we don't want the government to get in here and control prices and control every little thing. But we do need the state government to send us continuity, a set of signals that have continuity so we can rely on them, so we can work our loan plans and our whole projections way down the line. The revolving loan fund will hardly talk to you if you don't give them good economic projections for 5 years. And yet we just had, so far, a flip-flop of signals in the last 6 months. So that's the message I'd like to pass on.
Yeah, that's legitimate. That's legitimate. Someone else over here. Carol?
I'm Carol Martin, and
here from Kenai, and throughout the United States, there's been a good program that has really worked for agriculture, and that is the Department of Agriculture's extension, county agents, 4-H, homemakers, and research, getting the information up the line and getting it back down the line, and it is a proven program for 50 years. And in Alaska, we do not have anyone on the Board of Regents in our land-grant university or any attention paid to, or in other words, we have a huge gap, and it is not getting all the way to the governor and getting all the way back, and we aren't getting a reasonable hearing at the university level.
I mentioned that in a meeting with the governor just a couple of weeks ago, that it may have been your suggestion that triggered it, that was strange that the university didn't have someone on the Board of Regents that had some interest in agriculture, since it was originally an agricultural and mechanical college, wasn't it? That was established.
It's still a land grant university.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What was the governor's response?
He didn't know that either.
Oh, he knew that.
When I get to thinking that I have a lot of problems with my divisions to worry about, and see how many concerns he has to worry about, I have to feel sympathetic that he can't focus on all of them at once. But anything else? Alex.
Commissioner, I feel that the university is not doing what it should be doing for the agriculture industry. I was wondering what the administration could do to jack up that university to get it in the direction, to get some coordination and some programs that will help for the agriculture program. I heard today a gentleman from Canada talking, we were talking about some land problems. And they came down to the issue of identity, because they have a clear-cut situation in Canada, because they can identify the farmers. And the identity of the farmers is based on the education of the farmer. And they don't have no problem. We don't have that situation, because the university here can't even offer a Bachelor of Science degree. It's an agriculture college, can't even offer a Bachelor of Science degree in agriculture. You can get a master's degree or a doctorate. You can't get a Bachelor of Science degree, because the university administration and the top wheels in the university are afraid to move in that direction. They were scared off politically a number of years ago, and they're afraid to move in that direction. I know, because they were criticized. There was a gentleman that was criticizing him there from BLM. He was had a homestead up there in the Talkeetna area, and he was trying to get the university off the duck and get moving on the area of agriculture. He criticized him. Senator Gravel picked that up as a political gimmick to also jab the university, and as a consequence, Dr. Drew came into the show at about that time, and he's had that scared feeling ever since he came here. There's no, I know the Department of Agricultural Science at the university is not doing its job, and there's a lack of coordination. I'm sitting here on the community college, on the community college council here. I'm on the advisory council for the extension service. I've been an advocate for agriculture for years, and I attended the University of Alaska way back, and I told you when, like that 1939. But they're not doing it. We've had direct talks with Dr. The President and Dr. Drew and other all top level of the university that are interested in agriculture, and there is a lack of that unity and an effort and a coordinated effort to really help the agriculture industry. And I think that the governor should know that, and should, if he's really interested in agriculture, he'll look very closely at that university.
I'll pass it on, but that's a...
You can
They don't know.
I might suggest that all members of the Board of Regents, the new board, has not been confirmed by the legislature and I would suggest that the people here make the effort to get them on the telephone and just ask them where they stand on that issue, and then let that us know.
Okay. You also have other people from the university here who I'm sure would carry your message. Thank you very much, Isaac. Nice to be with you.
I think it's really outstanding of the commissioner to sit up here and take the best shots we have to offer at her, and it shows she's a good sport, and hopefully we're going to have someone that will listen to our industry in Juneau outside of the people we've had in the past in the legislature. One thing I would like to ask the commissioner to take back to the governor is when they talk about the task force, is that she charged the task force with people to have open minds and to consider statewide issues, but I would just ask the administration to please consider the farmers that they want on the task force, that the agriculture year is coming up, and farmers that make their living by farming, they only have a short period here in Alaska, and if they have a week of meetings in June and a week of meetings in May, there's not going to be any farmers that are true farmers that are going to be able to serve on this task force. So I just hope the administration would consider that fact.
Yeah, thank you, Pat.
We'd also, I'd like to thank a few people for attending. Senator Fisher and Pappy Moss has a representative here, and Representative Schultz has a person here to attend our meeting and take back some information to him. I'd like to thank Paula Cohane and the Kenai Agricultural Association for hosting this meeting. I'd like to thank Carol Martin and Bart Richards and Ed Anderson for getting things arranged and fixing up everything real nice. And one other thing I'd like to say, I'd like to thank everybody here who didn't have a bureaucratic organization to pay for their way down here and to pay for their hotel rooms and to pay for their meals, because this is truly where the agriculture industry is in Alaska, and I think this is one of the first times that so many people have foot the bill during hard times and got together to try to do something positive for the industry. Thank you. No further announcements. I guess the next item on the agenda, Carol.
Before you quit, we got to tell everybody when breakfast is and what they're going to miss if they miss it.
Breakfast is going to start, I believe, at 7:30, and the only thing I know they're going to miss is some good fresh eggs.
Well, that's true, but there are going to be some door prizes at 8:30, right on the money. And if you're not here,
right, we have door prizes. We have. Toys that have been donated by Pioneer Equipment Company and I think Craig Taylor. We have pork that's been donated by Perky Pigs and Palmer. We have some grass seed, lawn grass seed, that's been donated by Mulligan Farms, and a few other items. So if everybody wants to get these items, we'll see you tomorrow morning. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. I look forward to seeing you on the night.
The first few pages of the big report
are the important
part. It's all important, but that's kind of a summary.